I'm going to start out and read the verses from James chapter 1, starting in verse 19. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not bring about the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away immediately and forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard but doing it, will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God accepts, God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So there's probably six four-part talks in these verses, and I'm not going to cover all of them. I'm going to concentrate just on verses 19 and 20. And quite frankly, those are the verses that none of us want to hear. So it's a little bit difficult for me to even give this talk, because I know that you guys don't want to hear these verses, and I know you don't want to hear them because I don't want to hear them. And I know that I've read these verses before, and I've agreed with them, and I say, oh, yeah, I think this is what I need to do, but then I don't do it. So even if some of you do hear these verses and think they make sense, I can guarantee you, if you ask your wife, she'll tell you you're not doing them. And if you don't believe your wife, just ask somebody else that you know, and they'll tell you that you don't do them either. So, there's a couple of phrases that are used in here. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, and the righteousness that God desires. Those are our key terms. Quick to listen talks about where listening should come in the order of communicating. And so what James, the brother of Jesus, who lived with Jesus his whole life, saw probably as well as anyone what Jesus' example was and how he communicated with people, is saying that the first thing that you should do is listen. And not only... listen for a short while, but listen for a long while. And then, before you speak, if in fact you need to speak, before you say what's on your mind, probably the first words out of your mouth should maybe be more questions of the person who's speaking to you, to really try and understand what they're saying. So that's the problem with a lot of communication these days, and a lot of communication, frankly, that I have with people, is I want them to know what I feel, but I'm not as concerned about what they feel. And people can tell, you guys can tell, if you're trying to tell someone something and they come out before you're even done speaking and start telling you what they think, giving you their opinion, giving you a little lecture, or even if it's good advice, you're not going to listen to it. Because you can just tell that person really isn't interested in hearing what you have to say. They're really not interested in understanding where you're at. They just want to tell you what they feel. And when people are like that, we just shut down. And so if you know that that's happened to you, rest assured you've done it to other people. And the thing about this is, it isn't that we should only take the time to listen and understand and be inquisitive and ask more follow-up questions of people that we like, our friends, our family, people who we who feel the same way we do. We should be that way with everyone. We should be that way with the person who's economically here, if we're here. We should be that way with the person whose skin color is different from ours. We should be that way with the person who is politically here, if we're politically over here. Because isn't that what Jesus did? He didn't have favorites. He didn't care. He treated everyone the same. And so further down in one of the verses that I'm not going to talk about, it basically says that everyone who thinks that they're religious or thinks they're a spiritual person who reads what the Bible has to say, if you don't do it, James is saying, oh, your faith is worthless. And we all know that we can't be perfect, right? So we're going to not do the things that the Bible says we should do. We're going to not do them all the time. I don't do them all the time. I desire to do them. I try to make a really good effort to do them. And sometimes I fail. And there have been times in my life, though, where I have blinded myself and I really haven't even tried. Or I've convinced myself that I'm trying, but I'm really not. And so it's tough to be slow to speak. It's tough to listen to what other people have to say. One speaker or author that I read this past week while I was preparing said, one of the reasons that we're afraid to listen to an opposing viewpoint is we're afraid that we might find something right with what that person says, and that maybe we might have to change how we feel. And God forbid we should have to do that. In verse 20, it talks about human anger does not bring about the righteousness that God desires. And so the word righteousness is kind of it's a word that's used sometimes today, but it kind of means rightness. And in this context, James is saying human anger really brings about self-righteousness, not God's righteousness. And so when we're angry, what comes out of us is not the kind of righteousness or right living that God wants. It's our right living. And right is a word that men, for sure, I'm a man, you're men, so I'm going to speak about us. Men really understand about rightness. And another guy I was speaking, he said, there's three things about a lot of men when it comes to where their anger takes them. And it's, I know I'm right. I want you to know that I'm right. And I want everybody to know that I'm right. I mean, we just have this It's like built into us that we just want to be right. And we get angry when people don't think that we're right or they don't see things the way we see them. Last week, Henry talked about temptation. And in our group, when we discussed afterward, we talked about what are the big temptations that we have. And so all the guys in our group are in their 60s or higher. And we kind of concluded that whereas maybe at an earlier point in our lives, sex was the biggest temptation, it isn't anymore. It's now anger. And if you have eyes and ears, you can look around this room or other circles in which you travel or churches where you go to or whatever, and you'll see that men our age have problems with anger. Probably men at any age have a problem with anger. There was a book about sex that was written, sex addiction and men's, you know, problems with it. It was called Every Man's Problem, which is true. Anger is also every man's problem. And this need to be right is very much tied in with anger. It's sort of like they kind of feed each other a little bit. The angrier you get, the more you need to be right. The more you need to be right and people don't think you're right or think differently. Because after all, that's what, if somebody thinks differently than you do, the way I see things, have always seen things, and so I'm guessing if I have, maybe some of you have as well, things are either right or wrong, right? I mean, men don't like gray. It's black or it's white. It's right or it's wrong. And since we all, and this is pretty much everyone, maybe even including women, we all believe that we're right. Many places in the Bible that talk about that, every man is right in his own eyes. We all believe we're right. Well, if everything has to be right or wrong, and let's say Dennis here holds a different viewpoint than I do, well, holy cow. If he's right, then I'm wrong. Well, I can't be, because I'm right. I'm always right. And what's wrong with you, Dennis? Here's a, let me find this. So anger, when somebody says something, it's amazing how sometimes I can flash anger in my head really quickly. Yesterday, when I was at the hospital, so Greg mentioned that my uncle, he's been in the hospital for 10, 11 days. They just put him into hospice. Day before yesterday, when they made the decision that he's going to die, there was one of the doctors was there and was talking to me about, you know, what do you want to do? And I said, well, I know my uncle doesn't want any extraordinary means. I don't want it for him. He said, well, we need to then get an order to put him into hospice, and we need to activate his healthcare power of attorney. And I was the power of attorney. You need two doctors for this. Most of you know this already, probably, because you've been through it. So he signed off, and the person who they wanted his primary doctor to be the other doctor who signed off, a GP guy, and he needed to be the one to write the order to put him into hospice. So they tried to get him on the phone, he and the other doctor calling back and forth every once in a while. And finally, after about 2 hours, this doctor came, who was in the hospital, came down to me and said, your uncle's primary doctor said he's not going to sign anything until tomorrow. And this was at 2 in the afternoon. So I wasn't thinking quick to listen at that point. I wasn't thinking, well, maybe my uncle's primary doctor has a good reason. I got angry right away. And, but my uncle's doctor wasn't there, so I couldn't yell at him, right? Now, I couldn't see any reason why he wouldn't have signed off on these orders. And so this leads to another thing that I read that the pastor talked about these verses. He said, here's something that we all know. Everything that everyone does makes sense to them. But it gets worse. Everything that everyone says makes sense to them. And everything that everyone believes makes sense to them. But sometimes, you've heard people say it, you probably have even said it yourself, and especially in the areas of religion and politics, for whatever reason. I can't believe that they would think that way. I can't believe that someone would believe this thing about an interpretation of the Bible or whatever it is. I can't believe that they would do that. How can people murder for drugs? How can people rape somebody? How can people be mean? How can we be surprised that people do the things or say the things that they do? Are we surprised that we say the things and do the things that we do? Are we surprised at what we believe? No, because we all believe that how we feel is right. But everyone else feels that way as well. And it's a lot easier to criticize people for how they feel rather than to be quick to listen and slow to speak, which means keep listening and ask follow-up questions, be inquisitive, try and find out more what's going on. There's another spot I thought in these verses. The word humble is used, and it gets to the issue of, is what someone else feels or how they're doing or what's going on in their life, is it more important than what's going on in our lives? Some people are so quick to give their opinion right away about everything. My uncle, who's laying there dying right now, was one of those guys. He knew when he was right, and it was all the time, and it was his way or the highway. And he never failed to let you know. He was so right that he righted his relationship with one of his sons right out of his life, because he was constantly telling his son what was right, and that my uncle was right and his son was wrong. And so his son today, in his 60s, doesn't want anything to do with his dad. That's what can happen in our relationships when we aren't humble, when we get angry, when it's really important that not only are we right, but that we let people know that we're right. In all our relationships, I think especially in our marriages. I mean, I am huge president of the fan club on my block of people who need to be right with their wives. And I think other people have said this up here before. People written this in books. Pastors have said it. Stop trying to win arguments with your wife. You can never win an argument with your wife, because even if you can prove that you're right, you've ruined the relationship. And when it gets down to it, wasn't Jesus all about relationships? He came to this earth to reconcile us to God, to fix a relationship. That relationship was important. And that's how we're supposed to be. And it's hard. And we're not naturally good at it. We're not going to be perfect. We're going to fail. But somehow we have to put more effort. I have to put more effort into being quick to listen, being slow to speak, and being slow to get angry. Because once you get angry, everything's out the window. At that point, it's just, there's no turning back. So that's about what I have to say. Like I told you, who wants to hear this, right? I don't want to hear this. But yeah, it is good stuff. And you know, one other thing, two nights ago when I was leaving the hospital, my sister came down, and I've got a cousin, my uncle's, his other son, is cognitively disabled. And so I'm his caregiver. I help him get through life. He needs a lot of help. And my sister was talking to me about, have you told Greggy yet that his dad is going to die? And I said, well, no, I haven't. And he's going to die diagnosis came on really quick. So Greg had seen him in the hospital. He had talked to him on the phone several times, and it was like, okay, his dad's going to be going back to the nursing home in a couple of days, and now it's like he's going to die. So my sister is giving me her opinion about that I need to tell Greg about this and prepare him, because here's going to be his reaction. And my sister doesn't see my cousin several times a week like I do, because she lives an hour away and she's not his day-to-day caregiver. I am. And I absolutely disagreed with her assessment of how he was going to take it. And I thought about this talk, and I thought about, okay, be slow to speak, Chris. Be quick to listen. So I kept listening to what she had to say. And this is not Chris's great, he's got this. Believe me, it isn't. But one of the pastors I listened to on this said, maybe slow to speak might in some cases mean don't speak. And so I thought, you know what? My sister she knows she's right about Greggy, and that I'm not. I'm not going to change her mind. So I just listened to what she had to say, and I didn't respond to her. And there was silence for a while, and then we got to the parking structure, and I said, okay, I'll keep you informed. But I just didn't go there. And she wasn't upset. You know. And then later on the next day, after I had told Greg, I called her and said, so I kept her in the loop and everything. But it's sometimes, if you don't have to be right, and if you don't have to purge that anger, a really good way to maintain a relationship and to strengthen a relationship and to even take it easier on your own blood pressure is just not to say anything. So, I've said a lot of things for 30 minutes. I'm done.